In this conversation, I sit down with Pastor Lisa Frazier from Celebration Center in Modesto, California. She has a passion for the ministry of recovery. This passion was birthed out of her own story. She shares her powerful testimony of finding freedom from addiction and offers hope and healing to those in need of recovery today. She wants you to know that Jesus is for you. Here's my conversation with Pastor Lisa. Excited to share a conversation with you that I'm going to have with Pastor Lisa Frazier. She is from Modesto, California, and our topic of emphasis this month is on addiction and how addiction can be a very prominent issue for women. Pastor Lisa deals in recovery ministry. I'm going to let her share just a little bit of her story and where her passion for the ministry of recovery comes from. So Pastor Lisa, tell us all about yourself.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Whitney. Well, to start with, I am the recovery pastor for Celebration Center in Modesto, California. I'm very fortunate to be part of a body of believers that firmly and strongly believes that recovery is possible and that a relationship with Jesus Christ is the foundation for that. My journey started really young, like a lot of other stories. I come from a broken home. I come from a family with addiction on both sides of my family. So I believe there's a genetic predisposition to that, of course, plus there's the exposure. So growing up in a family that was full of alcohol addiction, abuse, violence, that sort of thing, kind of changes you. So coming up in that, you know, and in the teen years, I started dabbling with drugs, and it wasn't long before I was just full on addicted to drugs. And so I spent several years, probably 7 or 8 years as an addict. I went into treatment at about 19, long-term treatment, which I firmly believe in. Spent 18 months in a treatment facility, but there was no spiritual foundation whatsoever. I wasn't raised in that kind of an environment, and I just really had no understanding of God and that I could have a personal relationship with Him. And so even though I stayed fairly clean and fairly sober, I use that term pretty lightly, I did not maintain my sobriety. And so if you fast forward, I spent about 20 years altogether in the life of addiction, and at the age of 36, I got saved. I walked into a room one day with the Bible and a habit. And when I walked out, I was free. I had an incredibly supernatural encounter with the Lord, which I know it doesn't happen in most cases, but it happened in mine. And it was almost an immediate response was, you have to share this. Oh my gosh, what was that? Mm-hmm. And so that has been my story ever since, basically. And that's been going on 28 years.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Sharing the beautiful gift that you got to walk out and receive with others.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's talk, let's break it down a little bit. How would you define addiction?
There's clinical definitions of addiction, and I have one of those in front of me. And basically, it's defined as a chronic relapsing condition. It's a disorder that's characterized by compulsive drug seeking, continued use despite harmful consequences. And I would have to underline that. I have my own definition of addiction, and it's kind of summed up like this. Like, there's a point in your addiction when it's no longer fun. You're doing it just to maintain, and you're starting to understand and realize that you're in trouble. And still you don't stop. And then it begins to cost you things like your health or your job or your relationships, and still you don't stop. And then it's becoming very apparent to you that you really need to stop. And so that thought's now an absolute need, and still you don't stop. And you just continue on the spiral until you've pretty much placed everything on the altar of sacrifice for this thing that's now your God, the center of your universe, and you're trapped. And there you find yourself. You know, powerless, literally no less in bondage than somebody who's in shackles or chains.
Sure. Yeah. And I think you, which you'll get into in a little bit, but you deal specifically with more alcohol, drug abuse, or that type of addiction. We also talked about, though, there are some addictive behaviors that people fall into. What kind of things, addictive behaviors, do you find people struggle with?
I would say probably a huge one nowadays, and we all know that and we're aware of it, is pornography. There is food addiction, there's sex addiction, there's phone addiction, there's any behavior, you know, necessary or not, you know, can become addictive.
How do you think people get caught in that cycle of addiction?
As far as substance use, there's a lot of different factors. There's genetic factors, environmental factors, there's exposure factors. Generally, when a person starts experimenting with a substance, it's just an experiment and it's fun. And then with repeated use and continued use, what happens is you develop a tolerance for it. And so you want that initial rush. It obviously feels good, or we wouldn't have a world full of addicts. And so we're hardwired for that stuff. And what happens then is they're chasing after that. And somewhere in the midst of that voluntary use becomes involuntary. And now you're doing things just to stay normal that you used to do for fun. And that's when you live in denial for a long time until finally just everything around you is just pointing to you have a problem. And
How does addiction uniquely affect women in particular, since my audience is largely women? What's unique about addiction when it comes to women?
I think there's a lot of different things. First of all, drugs affect women differently, just from physiologically, just from that aspect. It also, there's a lot of different things physically that women experience in addiction that men don't. And then once a woman is addicted, she's got so many the obstacles that she has to face, the stigmas of being, most women in recovery have children. I would say probably 75%. I'm sure there's a number for it. I don't know it offhand, but my experience tells me probably at least 75%. So here you've got a woman with at least one child. So she has to deal with the stigma of being an addicted mother. Then she has to consider how she can get into treatment, if she's even at the stage where she seeks treatment. Then the things that women involve themselves in that addictive lifestyle that men don't generally deal with. Many of them, most of them, engage in promiscuity, even to the point of like prostitution and that, those types of things. They just affect you. They just affect you. Even when you stop doing them, there's effects. Women have abortions. These are things that men don't deal with in that addictive lifestyle. They have children that are born addicted. And so when a woman decides that she's, you know, going to change her life, however she decides to do that and seek help, all those things have to be faced. And there's just trauma after trauma. And it takes, you know, a very brave woman to face those challenges and deal with those emotions and things that they once numbed with drugs. And so there's all those factors. And then they have to consider too, how they'll care for their family if they regain custody or if they maintain custody. Just a lot of different things that men generally don't deal with. There are fathers that raise their children, but the vast majority are women.
Yeah. I think also it's important to note that addiction, when it comes to drug, alcohol, it really is no respecter of person. I think sometimes we probably have a definitely judgmental picture of maybe the demographic of people that may struggle with it. But I know when you talked about these women having children that are born addicted, I was a labor and delivery nurse for many years, and the amount of women in affluent communities addicted to narcotics whose babies would go through withdrawals while they were in the hospital. I mean, like, it truly is no respecter of person. We can see this in all demographics, all ethnicities. It's just something that I think we probably don't talk about a whole lot. It's something that often remains secret or in the dark. And one of the reasons I just wanted us to talk about it this month is just to raise awareness for it, that and what we want to ultimately do is point to hope here. So we're going to kind of shift this conversation more towards this recovery and this hope-filled aspect. what is the recovery path? What is the path out of this?
There's stages of recovery. The 12 steps are really clear. They're well worn. They've helped millions of people gain sobriety and maintain sobriety. And it's all done in an environment of fellowship. We need to be connected. So the first thing that I would suggest that a person do, first of all, is pray and start talking to the Father. And just like I did, you know, He will help you. He's for us and He will help us and He will lead us in a path for healing, not just sobriety, because you can be sober and still be broken. And so there's this whole pathway of healing and restoration that needs to take place. I would strongly urge someone to get connected with a faith fellowship, first of all, and find a 12 step. Whether, you know, I personally, of course, prefer the spiritual 12 step, like Celebrate Recovery or our Life Recovery. But there are countless people in our groups that have come through AA and NA. And when they hungered for more of God, then they stepped into a faith-based 12 step and brought all that knowledge and skill. And we were using it. And so it's a beautiful thing to watch. And so I would say that first, get involved in recovery, find a place. And if you go to a place and you feel that that's not the place, try it a couple of times. And if that's not it, then find another, find your place, because God has a place for you. And then get involved in the whole recovery process, start going through the steps, get a sponsor and stay connected, go to church. These are like foundational, just foundational. Can't tell you how foundational that is. It's absolutely essential, in my opinion. And once a person gets a hold of God and God gets a hold of a person, watching that relationship blossom and bloom, and watching a person being, the Bible says we're translated from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. And watching that person literally get freed from the shame and the darkness of addiction, and the light starts to shine and hope starts to rise. And pretty soon, you know, there are smiles where once there wasn't, and you watch them come alive. It changes you. You will never be satisfied not being part of that. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And we have a church that just, it's all around us. It's story after story after story.
Yeah, I've gotten to be a part of one of your services before at Celebration Center, and it's uniquely in an area where you have a lot of people who've been radically set free, and to see them worship Jesus it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yes.
How about the person who's listening who maybe like you was kind of somewhat sober, in and out for several years, and maybe they're struggling to find hope to give it another try? What would you say to that person today?
I would absolutely say, first of all, pray. Just pray. Ask the Lord to help you, because He will, because He's for us. I would say, first of all, that I would get into my Word. The Word is absolutely essential. You can start anywhere, but, you know, I always ask people to start in the book of John, because in my opinion, that's a love letter from the Father to us. That's the Lord's love letter to us. So get into your Word. Just get into your Word, because if you'll get into your Word, hope will come. And if hope comes, so will just courage. Just again, you know, relapse is part of recovery as a general rule. It's very few people that are just walk into a room like I did and just get radically, radically delivered. Most people, it's a process. And people in recovery, relapses generally, I say generally, I would encourage you not to relapse, but just because of the physiological changes that addiction does to our brain and, you know, in our reward centers and all those scientific things like dopamine, it might take a time or two, but don't give up. Just get up and do it again. Just get up and do it again. I think the average is like 5 times.
Oh, wow.
I know people that have been in and out of recovery 7 or 8 times, and then one day the miracle happens and they get it. So just don't give up.
So clearly they're not alone in that journey. There are many others in that place. And scripture says the righteous man may fall 7 times, but what do we do? He gets back up and he tries again.
Yes. Yeah. And I love the scripture too that says, don't rejoice over me, my enemy, for though I fall, I shall arise. And so just
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I'm gonna put you on the spot here a little bit. Is there one story maybe you could share with us, maybe particularly of a woman that you have ministered to through your recovery ministry, that you could just share a story of hope with us about?
Let's see. Well, there's one getting married tomorrow, and I'm going to her wedding.
Oh,
there is a lady. Now, she was already in a recovery program when I first met her. But she had her children with her. And the amazing thing about her was that she was not there on a CPS case. So she was not required to be there by court. She was there willingly, wanting to get her life together. But it wasn't the first place that she had been to. But she was determined. And I watched this woman start out very shaky, just not really sure what to do next or where to go. She started coming to our church. She started coming to Life Recovery. We would pick them up, a large, you know, groups of women from this program. Mm-hmm. And this is a program that is faith-based and completely geared toward reunification. It's a women's program only. Most of them are mothers. And so I just watched her over time just get more solid in her faith, watched her develop her relationship with her children, and in amazement, because she's a really good mother. And mm-hmm. she fell in love with a man that is part of our ministry team at Celebration Center, who is also on staff at the Gospel Mission. And so mm-hmm. they connected. Somehow their eyes met, and they ended up developing a relationship, and they are actually getting married tomorrow. So this is a love story, but it's a success story too, because she is sold out for Jesus. She's ministering to other people. And that's when you know that it's successful. When a person gets involved in recovery, because in order to keep it, we feel you need to give it away. And so it's not, you know, he doesn't just save us so we can sit comfortably on our couch with our mom. I really believe that, you know, he delivered me to show me that deliverance is possible.
Yeah.
And we become this well of hope that needs a target. It's almost, it has to have an outpouring. It has to have an outlet. And pretty much that's been my story. And I've watched that happen all around me. So that's just one, but there are so many. There are people in our fellowship that have died, that have literally died numerous times, overdose on drugs, that now work in behavioral health, that are just excelling in every area, that they're raising, they're men raising their own children because the mothers are addicts. I mean, just totally dedicated to recovery, totally dedicated to the Lord. It's just countless stories. One of my spiritual daughters, I actually wrote about her recently, actually, you know, committed suicide, hung herself, and was rescued at the last moment. And now she leads outreach. She's works in the field of recovery. She's happily married. Just total recovery.
Yeah.
Salvation story. Love it.
I have been reading through the Bible this year chronologically, and still in the Old Testament. And I don't know, I'm just teary-eyed hearing your story, because the Lord's just been so sweet to remind me that since the beginning of time, he's been making a way out for his children.
No.
And his is a story of redemption. And there's just so much hope to be shared. You know, our theme this year for Women's Ministries is Rise and Build. And we're really encouraging women to build in three different areas. One, to build in their own personal walk. That's kind of that thing that you were talking about, get in the Word and make that foundation sure with your own faith journey with the Lord. So build your own personal heart, build your home. That's your family, your children, the people right where you are, and then build your church and community. And that's exactly what you're doing through your ministry. And it's sounds like what many of these stories that you've shared, you know, these people who've radically found freedom are now involved in those ministries, building the kingdom right where they are. And so I think if anything, I can glean from things that you've shared is programs are awesome and programs are beneficial and they're needed. But I think the glue that makes it stick together is the faith. It's Jesus. And his makes the story of redemption so much sweeter when he's included. Yeah. if someone's listening today, what's the very first one thing that you would tell them to do if they have found themselves in this dark place? What's one thing practically they can do right now?
I would say, first of all, pray, but reach out. There's help. There's help everywhere, all around. I would definitely I would get a hold of my local resources, behavioral health resources, recovery resources. I would find a church. This to me is the foundation. Just as you said, it's the glue. A relationship with the Lord. That is number one. Even if you don't believe in him, just go. Just like our pastor said, you don't have to believe to belong. Just get there. Because once you get there, there's a paper that I wrote in Bible college, and it just came to my mind, and that's a long time ago. And it's based on Psalm 8, because God, there's so much shame attached to addiction. To just step out and to actually admit that you have a problem is huge for a lot of people. But he chose us, and he didn't choose us for a crown of shame. He chose us for a crown of glory, you know? So just step out and say, reach out.
If you are listening to this today, there is hope. There's no shame, nothing but the unconditional love of Jesus. And he's been right with you, coming after you to rescue you all along. And he's right there. Anything else before we close? Any tidbits we've missed that you'd like to leave us with? And if you want to plug any resources here at the end, you can. I know you did mention Celebrate Recovery and Life Recovery, which are the programs you have experience with. Any other things you'd like to suggest?
We do use exclusively, we are Life Recovery, and we use their materials. It's an incredible organization. You can find their material, but you can find a lot of resources at newlife.com. Okay. You can find groups in your area if you're interested in a 12-step group, or I'm not sure, there's like, they're in practically every state in the union, but they're all over. So I just encourage you, go to newlife.com, go to their resources, just click on all the tabs and see what you find, but there'll be one for groups, and you can find a group in your area. If you're interested in starting a group, you can actually find help through that as well. They'll absolutely help you. They're wonderful people. They have excellent material. I have some of it behind me, but we use Life Recovery Bibles, journeys, journals, laws, gifts. We've started small groups that cover, we actually started one on grief, but they have material for divorce, overeating. So just click on those tabs and see what you can find. That would be number one. I just can't stress it enough. The Lord is for us. You know, he's the one that calls us out of darkness, and he's personal. And he calls us by name. Don't let anything get between you and him. If he's calling you, I think you probably know that answer.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Pastor Lisa, for spending some time with us and just sharing your heart and your passion. And if you're listening today, I haven't done this yet, but I would ask you, if you don't mind, Just pray for those that might be listening. Just close us in a prayer for those that are struggling with addiction who might be listening in today.
Yes. Father, first of all, Lord, we love you so much. Yes. We need you desperately, Lord. For some of us, we know that, and some of us don't. So we're just praying right now, Lord God, for those that are lost or steeped in addiction, Lord God, that haven't recognized their condition. We pray, Father God, that you would help them to understand their desperate need for you, Father God. We pray for the heart that feels hopeless, Father God, the one that's weighed down with despair, Lord God, and depression, anxiety, and all those things that are born of fear, Lord, because they don't know you. And so, Father, we pray that if they're watching, Lord, if they're listening, that they would cry out to you, that they would cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he'll answer. Yes. He's the only one that does. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord God, again, that you would draw your children to you, Lord God. You would draw them to you, Lord God, that you would bring deliverance, hope, healing, restoration, and reconciliation, Lord God. All those things that make life worth living. We praise you and we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 Thanks so much for all of your wisdom and your heart, and we bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Gather, Women Better Together. Gather is a resource from IPHC Women. We hope that this podcast is a place of encouragement and inspiration, no matter what season of life you are in. Don't forget to subscribe. This helps us reach more women. And please leave us a review or comment. We love to hear from you. Find more episodes at ipHC.org/gatherpodcast. We truly believe women are better together.